What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Italian Football TV. Obviously, we can't start this podcast without our thoughts going out to Joe Barone, director, general manager of Fiorentina, but also a very close friend to all of us here, as he's from Brooklyn, New York. Very close to the family. Unfortunately, there's been a tragedy. Atalanta Fiorentina was postponed because he had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital. Now, from everything that we're reading, it's been critical conditions. And for all of us here, we want to send our best wishes and prayers and love and strength to Joe, because he's a strong person, he's a strong man, and especially to the Barone family, who we're very close with.
We grew up together in Brooklyn. You know, I know Joe for the last 50 years. And we were in the neighborhood in Brooklyn, so we play soccer in Brooklyn. And I went to St. Francis, he went to St. Francis after me. You know, I coached St. Francis for a few years. Joe was uno di noi. You know, when you go to the stadium and sometimes behind the goals, you say uno di noi, it's one of us. Joe was one of us. You know,
he still is one of us.
Regular guy. Yeah. You know that you know, you can meet him have coffee with him, have a cappuccino. He's always available, always smiling, always ready to you know, he's one of the guys from the neighborhood that we grew up together. So
one thing I wanted to just say that I remember just a few seconds ago, like it was just this morning. Yeah, we were having coffee at Villa Bat, and Joe was like, "Hey, Ando, what's going on?" It's like nothing. It's like a regular. This guy's a big gun, but it makes you feel like you're the best person on the world. We're sharing the coffee at Villa Bat. We take a bunch of pictures. We're talking about a bunch of BS.
Yeah, he was also
and laughing around, and yeah, go ahead, man.
And I was just gonna say, he's always been part of the community too. Brooklyn Italians, he's been throughout. He's been one of the main guys over there till he went to Fiorentina, of course. And we're very close with his kids. Also, we grew up with their kids playing soccer, so it was more than just him. It was his family also that we're also very close to still today. Mm. So it's for the people that don't know him, he's a great guy. He's like just like the regular one of these guys, hang out, watch his culture just like the rest of us. And he's just one of the guys that everyone knows and loves.
Pete, want to say something?
No, yeah. I mean, obviously, our heart goes out to his family and that we're praying for him, you know. And as everyone else says, we all have a memory with him. Mm-hmm. I was just actually with him a couple months ago in Firenze. I went to go see the Viola Park, you know, and he was just showing us around the whole Viola Park. We went to go watch a couple of Fiorentina games. So, like, super hospitable, you know, made you feel at home. And it's really, really a sad, you know, when the news broke, we were all, like, in shock. So, you know, we're pulling for him and we're praying for him. And like Gaetano said, we want tomorrow morning to wake up and we hear good news. And, and that's that.
Let's stay positive and maybe we'll have something great to talk about it. Maybe tomorrow. Why not?
Yeah. Well said. Not always easy to transition from this, but we do have football, which is not as important, but we're important to us here at this table. Mm. Sorry for you, Peter, that I did have this listed as the first topic, but we didn't get to talk about Inter going out of Champions League to Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. Something that this man to our left, Antonio, was celebrating and very excited for, and he treated us to a dinner
because
say on the podcast he predicted Atletico to go through, and he said if it does happen, he'll take us out to a dinner.
We got him off the hook because he said steak dinner, and we didn't go for the steak.
But ended up getting some tacos.
We had people adding us, adding Peter Lugers in our comments because right after the game, because they wanted him to take us there, which is funny. But Peter,
listen, if Peter Luger was 5 minutes away, I have no problem. I will, you know what? The being so delighted, so happy that Inter gets eliminated in the Champions League, there is, you don't know the joy that an AC Milan fan, not any you guys, but if you're an AC Milan fan, you live for those things. You live for things like that to happen because, you know, it makes
that's
your
sad
day
life.
How sad it's is one that of the Milan most, has fallen to that
it's
point?
It's unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable. We like to fall down as many times as possible, seeing Inter just been under this kind of a miserable time. And
You know, we might win the Scudetto versus Milan.
Oh, so, by the way, did Lautaro wash his underwear? Because I seen pictures. I seen pictures around that he soiled himself before the penalty. What is that right?
I don't know. I don't go through other people's laundry.
Well, somebody said,
"What a response!"
Somebody showed me some social media picture.
Nobody wants to see on the way.
Wait, Gaetano, as an outsider, seeing Anto say this about Inter and Milan in Europa League, what does this? What does this say to you? Because you were smirking a few times. I don't know what you were thinking.
No, you know, he's not the only one.
Hmm. Oh yeah,
there are. Plenty. If you're a tifoso, you know that's where they are. You know, if an Italian team plays against an English team, they'd rather go with the English team.
Yeah.
Than
the rivals.
No. You're wrong. I'm sorry. I gotta correct you. If only for AC Milan, only when Inter.
How about Juve?
Juve, we don't care.
Really?
Yeah. But Inter. If you're an AC Milan fan, believe me, your DNA is being built in a way to say to you, as soon as you're born, you need to hate only Inter.
Understood.
So who cares about Juventus and everybody else? For us, it doesn't count.
We could break it down a little bit, but I've seen this narrative go out that it's this season could be seen as a failure just because of Champions League. Mm. Personally, I don't think it is a failure. I think your goal was to get the second star and... Champions League was a realistic goal because of last year. What do you make of this season as a whole?
First off, you know, no one could put an objective to win a Champions League unless you're spending the money of Man City and Real Madrid or these big teams that have broke, you know, the bank. Inter, if you look at half of their team, starting 11, they came for either free or less than $10 million. So right there, it's a well put together team. But not a team that should aspire every year to win a Champions League. You should try to go as far as possible. And obviously, it was a big disappointment, you know, to lose at this stage of the Champions League, because definitely we could have probably gone far. But I think the objective, if we want to be clear, is to win the Scudetto, and was to win the Scudetto, and we're nearly there.
99.9%.
Yeah, I mean, 14 points up, unless there's this huge debacle, which I don't see. Inter is going to win the Scudetto. They're going to get the second star. And I think it's still a point to use or jump on for the next year, where you can say, hey, you know, we made the Champions League final the year before. We've won the Supercoppas in the past. Now we won the Scudetto. Let's build on top of it.
Where do you think the blame lies? This is a question for everybody. We go around. Where does the blame lie for Inter going out of the Champions League? There's a few options. You mentioned Lautaro. I would say that for me, Thuram deserves more to be talked about for the chances that he had in the second leg than Lautaro does. The penalty kick, the game was already lost at that point. Is it that? Is it the Inzaghi, the way that he managed the game? Is it Inter not getting good enough backup strikers? Or is it just simply you went up against an Atletico Madrid side? You know, they didn't lose 4-0. They lost in penalty kicks to a top team that will probably go further. Mike, where do you think it comes down to?
I don't think it's just one factor. I think it's a mixture of a few. The first one is one not being on Inter. They played great on the first leg, but the biggest thing that they were missing, they weren't clinical at all. If they should have comfortably put away their chances, they would have walked in the second leg and more of managed a game rather than still playing the game. So I think that's where it started off. And then from there, it's Inzaghi's substitutions where he thought he can close off the game being one goal away by bringing in defenders. And when Atletico did score that goal, that's when there was trouble, because at that time when they were chasing a goal, most of their team had full of defenders that couldn't really attack. So you were asking it to go to a penalty shootout. And at that point, it's a coin toss. So I don't think it's just one thing. I think it is a few reasons.
Yeah, you had a strong opinion on this game.
So I said it in the last podcast. What I said is if you go into the game believing that you're going to win this game, believing that you're the better team, believing that you can attack and you can put pressure on this team, you can win this game. And that's what they did in the first half. And you're winning 1-0 plus 1-0. You're winning 2-0. But what happens in the second half? For 30 minutes, they passed the ball back to the goalkeeper. Okay? They thought that they were going to put the game to sleep by passing the ball back. And it backfired on Inzaghi. And to me, that was the reason why you can miss shots. Everybody misses shots. Mm-hmm. You know, every...
I'd like to go missed a lot too, to be fair.
Every forward's miss shot. They so... To me, it's your mentality and the way that you approach the game. I thought that he started pretty good. You're winning 1-0. You did everything right. But then the second half, your approach to pass the ball back and give up on the game. I think that if he would have put pressure and he would have played the same way, I think
Experience of, you know, Inzaghi's still relatively a young coach. He was at Lazio. We've watched him develop from at Inter over these last 2 years, where he made mistakes. Now he's on to win the Scudetto.
But he had enough experience. He's been in Serie A now for a while, and you know this type of games. You know that they have the talent to hurt you. I mean, they don't have a lot of talent. In the first half, they only had Griezmann that could hurt you. But then in the second half, the guy, he was very smart. He put Correa, who's a good player, with Griezmann, and there was Depay. Depay! I mean, the guy is an incredible player. And he made, to me, Cholo made all the right moves at the right time. And Inzaghi did not make the right moves at the right time. I think that if he would still push... And he still wanted to win the game and be aggressive and win all the 50-50 instead of going all the way back. And you know, sooner or later, they're going to score.
And they did.
You know, sooner or later, you're going to get a goal.
Gaetano, I hate to do the Monday morning quarterbacking, but if Inzaghi will have just pulled it through to the 90th minute where they will have just move on to the next round, nobody will be saying at all, Inzaghi, he played this.
But he didn't.
Listen, that's the point. That's the point. So being over here the next day and trying to trash what Inzaghi could have done, should have done, must have done, whatever the case might be, I think he did the right thing, but he backfired on him just for the fact that he didn't materialize. Because, you know, if you would have just continued attacking and Atletico would have scored regardless, and then you would have say he should have put the defenders inside. So there is always the flip coin of the medal. So what I say is, for me, it's pure bad luck, because for 5 extra minutes, Inter will have just walked out of the Wanda, whatever the name of the stadium is, with going to the next round, going to the quarterfinal. Now, it didn't work out, but I'm not going to fault Inzaghi for that. I think he did the best he could. The only mistake to me, that if I would point a finger to him, that he took Bastoni out.
And I thought they were big moments.
The rest, you know, when you're trying to defend and you want to try to take the game... il risultato, se vuoi portare il risultato a casa, you want to take the game and the results at home. I think he did a pretty good job. Now, to go back to you, Pete, your analysis, you twisted everything into a pretzel.
I didn't even make an analysis. No, I'm just saying objective.
You twisted everything into a pretzel, because up to last week, Inter was on the full run for the Champions League and all the rest of that.
By who?
By you. You were never not the Interisti, because you already won the Campionato. You put the Campionato on the side, and then you thought that you were fully concentrating on going to the Champions League. But, you know, it didn't work out. Pure bad luck. Then got it happened, because, you know, being an AC Milan fan, it's the best thing that
I
think you're twisting it a little bit. More so, yes, the fans, we have all the hope in the world that, hey, we have 16-point advantage in Serie A. If we can, win this game or get through, now we can really focus for Champions League, where we can rest players in Serie A and we'll be fresh. That is true. But as far as an objective of Inter, you cannot say the objective is to win the Champions League.
Listen, we're not at that caliber. It took Manchester City and Guardiola how long? And they only won last year after investing $1 billion.
Okay, so you're investing a lot of money.
But also, Inter is not at the level of, for example, Real Madrid, right? I watch Real Madrid's games against RB Leipzig, where they didn't play well. They conceded a lot of opportunities. Leipzig weren't able to make them capitalize on them. But then they have a player that's so world-class, like Vinicius Jr., that could, problem, I solved the game. Inter doesn't have that world. Lautaro and Thuram are very good for Serie A, not to take anything away from them, but they're not at that Champions League level quality of, let me make a difference in the most important moments. Mm-hmm. The strength of this Inter has been the group. It's been everybody together that's made them better. They screwed up in the first leg with the 1-0 because Atletico is a different team at home.
I think Inter is much stronger this year, and I think it could have taken the Champions League. To me personally, Inter could have won the Champions League. They have a better team. They have a team that is a little bit more mature. They have the Marco. They have a spectacular group, like you said. It's not just individuality. This is a group that really was working on 12 cylinders at the same time. But I think a lack of a concentration got them into this predicament that they are now found themselves to being eliminated to the quarterfinal. You know, that's sad. That's very sad, but it's reality. You cannot really lose concentration on those games.
You could have won.
And I disagree, excuse me, Marco, I disagree with you about Inter being not as good as Real Madrid or Manchester City. That's wrong. I think Inter can take just about anybody.
Mentality-wise.
It's not mentality. Simply quality of player. They don't have the game-changing player to help win your Champions League. I'm not saying that you can't win it, right, or the way that they went to the final, but it makes a big difference when you talk about expectations. Yeah. Anyway,
and I say the same thing. You could win something, but it's the objective. Now, just my take on the Inter game. I think Inzaghi, after a certain point, had a very calculated approach to say, okay, we got to kill time. Let's just manage the game a little bit. And then I'll put my cards on my team defending and be able to maintain. In Italy, you might be able to do it. Versus Porto, you might be able to do it. But when you deal with teams that can bring on Depay, Correa, and they're coming at you and they're at home, you know, it's very hard, especially when it takes just one mistake. Mm-hmm. And we saw that. I think Inzaghi, his substitutes were, you know, substitutions, you know, like Antonio said, why take out Bastoni? Why, you know, Di Marco? You don't have a true left back that can come in and replace because Carlos Augusto was out. I think it also shows Inzaghi's, you know, being stuck in that formation. I think also during the extra time where Darmian is not a true left back, you had a Buchanan on the bench that he was scrambling. He might have even made the sub. So it also kind of showed the state of confusion maybe that Inzaghi was at, where he just it reached that point and he didn't know what to do at anymore because his game plan was literally tossed. You know, obviously Inzaghi mentioned like we have to be more clinical. We score certain goals, especially away, you're all of a sudden have a gasp of air, you know, and able to get through to the next stage. But you know, Inter the first 20 or so minutes played a good game, I think, but you need to play for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next topic. Stupid topic. I hate that we have to talk about this, but before we get to the Italian national team, we got to talk about who got kicked off the Italian national team today. Acerbi, center back of Inter, got kicked off from Spalletti from the national team. You didn't hear the story?
No, I have the list of players.
He just got kicked off today, this morning. because yesterday he got into an encounter with Juan Jesus of Napoli. Oh, and yeah,
I read that
he made a racial slur apparently towards Juan Jesus, and Juan Jesus told the referee. He made it clear. Then Acerbi dug his own grave because he came out saying, "All right, I didn't say anything. This is crazy. That those words never came out of my mouth." Which Juan Jesus said, "We can leave it on the field. Let it be. Bygones be bygones." Juan Jesus then came out saying, "If you're going to deny it, I thought you were going to at least own up to your words, at least own up to what you said." So now Juan Jesus has come out doubling down on it that Acerbi did say it. The Italian Federation, along with Luciano Spalletti, decided Acerbi is a distraction. He doesn't want this player on the team for saying that. Inter said that they're going to do their own investigation. The reports are that he could be banned from Serie A for 10 games, maybe even more, Acerbi, for what he said. Just a stupid moment from Acerbi that it's unreal that the way that he went about it too afterwards.
Yeah, it's horrible, and you gotta give a round of applause to Juan Jesus that really targets that. I didn't like how even for him to have the courage to not even, he was saying in his Instagram post, by not bringing it up, made a big deal of it. If Acerbi owned up to it, but you have to target these things from the roots, so these things are aired out and people know about it, and there should be disciplinary sanctions for stuff like this, because we don't want to see things like this all the time. And I'm really disappointed on Acerbi, to be honest, because he's like one of the leaders for Inter, and also he battled through a lot of stuff in his past also. So hopefully if he does...
What did he battle in the past, man?
Testicular cancer.
Twice, I think.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, ooh. Two, yeah.
Right?
Twice.
Well, also the fact that he thinks it's just a way, he's like, oh, I was just trying to throw him off his game, yeah, or stuff that's like set out of the field. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Do you think you're ever going to see even Acerbi play for Inter again at this point?
Well, listen, let's first see how everything carries out. He's still, he's still a starter for Inter, so I don't see a reason why he can't the next year, maybe not a starter, but also to be a bench component. He's part of the Italian national team, even though he was taken off for these American games. It's not something that we want to see, especially on Inter, that, we're brothers of the world, right? That's the claim. Sure. There's players from all over the world playing for Inter, but, that I'm sure Acerbi has played with. So I think sometimes you can get caught up in the moment, but in no way is that an excuse for certain things. And, if he did do something, I think it's a matter of just owning up to it,
yeah,
and, taking the penalty or whatever it is, and then saying, hey, you know what? I learned from my mistake.
Take accountability.
He's gone the complete opposite route.
That's what I'm saying.
With all the cameras and the microphones and the audio and everybody that's...
That is an audio too?
I mean, I'm sure, right? There's so many cameras that are there. And they even have them on video afterwards and before, and you see what Juan Jesus says. So I think when Inter does it, I have a feeling that if they do prove it, Inter, you're not going to see Acerbi there.
Let me ask you something. This is a question for everybody. It's a topic. If you are the referees and Juan Jesus says to you, ref, he called me this. So what do you do during the game? The game was still going on.
During the game, how does the referees know?
I was saying if Juan Jesus told him.
Told the referee.
But how does the referee
know that he really did?
I mean, any player
can go and say, okay, he told me this.
No, my way.
But how do you prove it?
I think protocol is investigation after Gaetano. The match, yeah. But you do after bring it up to the superiors.
After the match, yeah. After the match. Listen, not during the match.
Yeah. Nobody on the right state of mind goes to the referees while there is something going on. Says, hey, by the way, insisting, he called me this. You don't do that. It's just that it's very obvious that something must have gone on, that the guy insisted and he pointed to the referee and said, hey, he told me, he called me this.
Yeah, so, but it's a hard decision.
It didn't get to that point because Juan Jesus, like he was saying, which I don't think Juan Jesus should do that, is say, oh, it's all right, it's fine.
Let's just keep going. Exactly.
And then he ended up scoring the goal.
The equalizer.
So just a stupid situation for everybody. Let's move on to the Italian national team call-ups because that's what we wanted to talk about. And maybe we'll see Buongiorno stepping in for Acerbi in the back line, which I actually think could work out a lot better.
And Mancini got called up instead of Acerbi, right?
Yeah, which is... I'm just saying, since he got
sent out home.
Anyway, Luciano Spalletti made the call-ups. There were some surprising ones. I wanted to get everybody's reaction. Some merit-based and then some not.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicolo Zaniolo, still part of the squad. He's got two goals for Aston Villa. Didn't really expect him to be there. He did leave off Scamacca and Ciro Immobile. Scamacca not for his lack of ability, but he hasn't been playing consistently with Atalanta as a starter, but also just motivation-wise. Spalletti's made it very clear, also with the Acerbi, he wants good people, but he doesn't want somebody that he has to motivate. And I believe he even said, when I call certain players, if I don't feel it in their voice, if it's like that I'm trying to convince them to play for the Italian national team, that's not a player that I want part of the squad, which I think is great for him. The other additions, and then I'll open it up to you guys, for Loroncio and Lorenzo Luca.
Gaetano has something on his mind he wants to say.
No, I mean, Zaniolo, come on, give me a break. I mean, you still call Zaniolo, you still call... some of these players that I don't think they belong there. But the player that I wanted to see was Colpani.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it. Because you guys show me the highlights.
and he ordered his jersey the next day.
And I saw the highlights. I mean, the guy runs 100 miles an hour. He goes back and forth. He takes a shot. He scores goals.
Calafiori.
We didn't know about
the 40s with the U21s.
I don't know about his defensive, you know.
He's a very attacking player.
Yeah, he's a very, but I would have liked to see better than Zaniolo. I mean,
I agree.
Let put him there. Yeah. And I'm excited for
Florencio.
Check him out.
Yo, he's been playing in Serie C most of his life. This is his first year in Serie A. He scored, obviously, the great goal against Juventus. But he's a very interesting player that I'm happy. That's one of the merit-based ones. What do you think, Pete?
Now, listen, these call-ups, especially for friendlies, is obviously a preparation for the Euros coming up. But also maybe for Spalletti to take a closer look at some of the guys live, right? So until you have them in training session, until you see them on the day-to-day, you don't know how these guys react, especially when it comes to the interpersonal level that Spalletti wants, right? So maybe, you know, Zaniolo, for example, Spalletti maybe wants to take this time to kind of put him under a microscope and be able to identify, is this player serious or can he be of service for us? Or not.
Okay, but then how do you justify, okay, he left off Ciro Immobile, which I agree with, mm-hmm. because he's saying he's not playing consistently. Zaniolo has like 7 starts for Aston Villa. So how do you have one but not the
he's
other?
He's younger.
I think
it doesn't matter, but the point is he was saying, I'm only calling guys that are playing consistently for their club. So which one is it?
I think for the striker position, there's more of a crapshoot in a sense where I don't think anything is solidified there. Whereas maybe that position with Zaniolo, he already has an idea of what he wants. Whether Zaniolo's there or not, that's up to him. But a striker position, I think he still has a big question mark there.
Is Belanova the first time that he's been called in?
I'm not sure if it's the first time. He's a very interesting player.
I like him.
I mean, I've said it before, but Di Lorenzo, I don't want him seeing playing as a wing back.
Last year, he played extremely well.
Yeah, for Napoli, year, of but course. This year everyone played well for Napoli last year.
No, I would not put him in that place. You got to find a way to put Darmian, even though he probably wants Darmian as the right center back in the back three, but or Belanova if he could become a surprise and really be something important. One other thing that Spalletti said, because obviously we're all going to the games, we're going to the game on Sunday with many people, and we decided the winner of the giveaway. What's his name that's coming with us?
Anthony Surusco. That was on the top of my mind.
Anthony
right now.
Surusco is going to be joining sure with us. Name?
I'm pretty sure.
Did he confirm? Where is he coming from?
Confirmed.
Connecticut.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice trip down. We're going to be doing tailgating.
Let's do it.
12 p.m. main parking lot. That's where we're going to be. That's what the graphic that's going around. Our buddy Gianluca Palanca is sending it all up.
Oh, okay. He said, I saw it, but he didn't put IFTV.
Well, because we're not the one organized. He's doing all the work telling everybody.
We'll spray paint it
afterwards. Bring some food, Giuseppe, bring some drinks.
What kind of food's going to be there? What's on the menu?
What are you bringing?
I'm going to go to Villabate.
Heroes.
Yo, you imagine Villabate
I'm going to bring some spritz. I want to make spritz.
Peter is going to be bringing cold cuts up, right, Pete?
Of course.
We'll bring something.
Of course.
And then we'll share. We'll bring a bowl. But Luciano Spalletti, he's been massive on talking about Italians abroad and the Italians who moved away from Italy for a better life, just like you two, who you guys both immigrated to this country. He said about playing these games in the U.S., we're going to pay tribute to the 20 million people that are waiting for us there and want to see us. We owe a lot to our compatriots that live there. Compatriots that live there in the United States, talking about Italian Americans, which I thought it was nice because personally, I never remember the coach of the Italian national team ever talking about Italians that are outside of Italy.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a nice little gesture.
Spalletti's well spoken.
I will, when I see him, I will thank him.
You. I think that would be nice. If you see Spalletti, let him know that we realize it. We understand it. He even said before, he's like, you don't realize that people abroad, just like you guys, take so much pride. You take even more pride in the Italian national team because it's your connection back to the mainland.
Okay, so let's. Why don't we just put on the table the real differences between Italian American and American Italian?
Oh, this is big.
Caetano and I, we are Italian American because we were raised and born over there. Uh-huh. Actually, me, I was raised and born. You guys somehow half bootlegs, but you nevertheless you're Italian.
Well, technically, you guys are just Italians. You guys are just Italians.
No, they're Italian American. No.
I want to say
I think you are Italian.
We are Italian American. I'm very proud to be American.
You guys are Italian.
Very proud to be American. Very proud to be American.
You know, Italian American. It's where you grew up.
We are Italian American. You're American.
It's
Italian.
The way that they act. There's a lot of aspects of their mentality, the way that they see things.
Because you have Dunkin' Donuts in the morning.
Because We used to have meetings, right? At the office in the city. And I used to show up with half a liter of coffee. And everybody had the
American
espresso.
Coffee?
And they look. Yeah.
American
and coffee. Everybody looks to look at me and say,
What's wrong with this guy?
But you're Americano. I will fall Americano.
Romano. You had American coffee, not espresso.
I had half a liter, but that half a liter, it lasts me for 2-3 hours. Yeah. They used to go like this,
and
the coffee was gone. Yeah. So I like that. So that's one of the things too. Of.
What's the biggest difference between an Italian and Italian American, Peter?
Oof, there's a lot.
you pronounce it Mats. Mozzarella.
The pronunciation.
Moots. Moots.
Stop.
What else? By the way, you know how many people Antonio is going to try to get?
Don't give it up.
Because ultimately, you know, we're all. Because by Italian law, it's by your bloodline. So technically, you're wrong. It's juris sanguinis. So in Italy, that's why, for example, Balotelli, even though he was born in Italy, he had to wait till he was 18 years old to receive Italian citizenship.
Yeah. How come I can't get my citizenship?
In Greece, too, it's the same
because
thing.
Because somebody renounced their citizenship. But
I like how they look.
The Italian-American over here. Yeah.
American-Italian.
Not on purpose. He didn't renounce on purpose. The law changed in 1994.
I never renounced my citizenship.
It was wild.
Are you lying? We did online.
This would be funny. We'll have grown-up Italian. Sabino, Rocco, your friends will be there.
Nice.
Maybe we'll ask this question to the people.
They got the panini.
Oh, yeah?
But the panini shop. They're going to tailgate with us? Paisa. They're going to tailgate with us?
Yeah, they're going to tailgate with us.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, let's move on.
That's nice.
Oh, got a question for the group.
By the way, for the tailgating, I have two of my friends from Boston, you know, my neighbor, the daughters, they're coming over.
Your neighbor?
Yeah, yeah. My neighbor
from Boston?
Bari. We're next door neighbors, and they're going to come and join us. Okay. We don't have then a sitting next to us because we couldn't, you know, the seating was already all gone. But they're going to definitely join us. I'm going to be driving them to the game. And back.
Thanks for that.
And big fan of IFTV.
Nice.
Big fan of IFTV. You know.
Cool. Sounds good. Can I go to the top?
He's a stool.
No, that's Mark.
Question for the group. I'm going to go to you first. Did
the Italian American?
The American Italian. Has Daniele De Rossi earned a contract extension at Roma? Francesco Totti said he never expected De Rossi to be this good this fast. He's improved basically every player. He's put Svilar in net. They've got 6 clean sheets since he's been there. They look amazing with him in goal. Pellegrini is a completely different player. 6 goals and 3 assists under De Rossi. Under Mourinho, all season, Pellegrini had 3 goals and 1 assist. And what he says is, I have freedom. I'm at the center of the game, which in the last year and a half, I did not have. He feels himself a lot more. Since De Rossi joined, they have the second most goals in the entire league. Actually, the most goals. They have the second most points after Inter. So, what do you say?
And I saw the hug that Pellegrini gave De Rossi after that goal. Oh, my God. They were squeezing each other. Yes, De Rossi deserves an extension.
And before we continue, you were very strongly on Mourinho sacking. You were really mad about that, saying he shouldn't have left.
Right.
Has it changed at all with how well De Rossi is playing?
No, because you don't know what Mourinho could have done. Mourinho, remember he had 2 finals. He took Roma to 2 European finals and won one. Okay, so let's just leave it like that. De Rossi is done a great job. I love De Rossi.
What went wrong, though? What went wrong?
Let's focus on the positives.
Let's
focus on De Rossi.
He has earned an extension for next year.
What do you guys think?
100%. With, you know, the performances, I think it's the different ways that he can win. You know, statement wins, obviously, versus a Brighton. He deserves an extension. He is Roma, you know, second to Totti, but yet still someone that's there that knows the environment. And, you know, when you come into a season, especially dealing with Roma, you know, and their fans, it's not always easy. But I think he was able to really command the respect and get the respect of this team. Next year, I think it's a different approach. because now you start from a preseason. Obviously, Roma need to figure out what they're going to do, you know, in the off season as far as the market and financials. And there's a lot of things that are still unknown. But I think one thing that is certain is that Rossi is going to get the players' respect and he's going to give his all.
You know, I got to tell you something. I mean, I was not really skeptical like you guys about that Rossi, but I said, this guy, I think he's got a great chance to just reset the Roma team to be the team that we are enjoying watching right now. So it took there were so many moving parts in this team here that, they were all over the places. De Rossi has come to this team here. This, you see the player mentally motivated. You see the joy that they play soccer. They just move the ball. The team works like on 12 full cylinder at the same time. You said six clean sheets, right? Six clean sheets is not easy in Serie A. And now with Abraham coming in, which is going to be an extra luxury.
When's that
for
happening?
Him. No, it's probably
he just
next
sat
week
on the
in
bench.
A couple
I
days.
Just feel like it's gonna, happening, I feel like guys played like three seasons. I got
so, since the last game of last season.
The numbers, they don't lie. Roma under Mourinho, they were just held back. With De Rossi, it's an attacking team. With Mourinho, it's wait and see, wait and counter, wait and counter. With De Rossi, it's just go for it.
That's a lot of hand gestures there.
And like Gaetano said, after the first goal, De Rossi doesn't say set back. Just De Rossi said, keep going. That's what the Italian do, the real Italian-American.
Italian-American.
You are American-Italian.
He's the panettiere.
To make a long story short, De Rossi not only deserves an extension, he needs a 2 years contract, and he needs to be paid what he deserves to get paid.
Mikey?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Okay. He deserves a breath of fresh air for this Roma side that looked like they were on the downhill. But yeah, like Gaetano said, I agree with you. We got to respect what Mourinho did. But I think it was time for a change after all. And I think you could see it throughout this team.
So talking about one manager who's overachieving to one that's underachieving. Last topic of the day.
Talking about Milan again?
No, not Milan.
Allegri.
Max Allegri, you're a genius. You were able to pick that out. Teams are no longer scared.
That's right.
To go to Allianz Stadium and to play against Juventus. I watched the Genoa side that played with three attackers against Juventus. There used to be teams that they would lose before they even stepped on the pitch to play Juventus. Today, they're not scared at all. That was one of the worst games I've ever watched of Juventus, and that's saying something. For this to be one of the worst, it was a tough watch at 7:30 in the morning, especially the first half. One win in your last eight games. And let me mention some of the teams that are within those eight games. Empoli, Udinese, Verona, Frosinone, and Genoa.
Wow, 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 wow.
From bad to worse from Juventus and completely uninspiring. And then to top it all off in the 60th minute, you're 0-0 against Genoa, and you're scared to keep Chiesa on and to play Chiesa, Yildiz, and Dusan Vlahovic.
He takes Chiesa out. That's horrible.
Where are we going with this?
I got to tell you something. This Allegri, I think he has dug his own grave, okay? Because, you are making the same mistake week on and week off. I mean, every week is the same nonsense. We're talking about the same topic every week. Just let them play the way they're capable to play. Just let them lose. Let them lose. And if they make a mistake, then you pointed to them. I said, you see? But it never happens. Allegri is a control freak. He has to have total control of every single player, every single move that they make, and every change that he makes. He demands. I said, you just go from here to here. Make sure you don't do this, this, or this. Because if you do, you're not going back into the game for the rest of your life. So I seen people playing scared. They play scared. You don't see the joy of Juventus player just going into the field and then making all of those tricks here and there. Bam, 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 bam. You don't see that anymore. That Piero used to just give the tackle.
Piero is a whole nother level of player.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What happened with Juventus? Where are the young kids that were looking at those champs, they were inspiring themselves. As soon as the game was over, you go back to the yard and you try to do exactly what they tried to do on the field. These guys are very boring. They're very, very boring to watch. I watched the game at 7:30 because I was curious. I said, I wanted to really watch what is going on. I put the game on. I was 20 minutes into the game, but the game was a disgrace. A total disgrace.
If you're not a Juventus fan, if you're a general fan, you go back to sleep. You don't watch that game.
Anto stood up. He was excited to see how they were playing, right?
Nothing.
No,
nothing.
But you know what I mean. So
yeah. Chiesa is struggling in that position, I think.
Everyone's struggling.
You know, it's...
What do you think, P?
The thing is, Allegri doesn't offer anything, any hope, anything new for this Juventus team. I think now that Giuntoli has his full year, he's got to make a decision. And I think the decision is, let's go for a coach that is going to aspire to play a certain style while also making sure that we are winning. We have the talent. We have the players. We need to find players that are going to play for Juventus, but are going to gel with this team. Mm-hmm. And there might be decisions that have to be made that, you know, fans might not be happy with, but ultimately it's got to be for the greater good of the team.
It's time for a change. You know, it's time to get somebody else new. I think for this year, it's 12 points from Atalanta. Atalanta is in sixth place. So if we get the five teams, it's 12 points from there. So it's pretty much into the Champions League. I think 5 points from Roma.
Bologna.
From Bologna. No, but Bologna from Roma is in fifth place.
Roma has 51.
Yeah. Or 8 points. Yeah. Eight points from Bologna. From Roma. So I think the Champions League is going to manage a way to get to the Champions League. But once the year is over, you need a change.
You know, I got to say
you
something.
You spoke already.
Yeah, no, I forgot to say something.
You have to wait your turn, Anto.
You got to wait your turn.
Those American Italians. I mean, Italian Americans. Let me just say something.
You said it already.
Juventus is like, Juventus is 9 points away to clinch the Champions League, all right? A spot. Whether it's going to be the third, the fourth team, or whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, I wanted to see whether an experiment a la De Rossi can work with Juventus. Bring me a coach that is capable to bring what's there in Juventus and make them play soccer the proper way. I think Juventus has got talent. It's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, of course.
The thing is that those talent, they're not performing because they've been held
back.
The
only one who could do that would be Del Piero, but he's not a coach. Mm-hmm. Even though I think he went to school. I think he was with Bobo Vieri. Yeah,
Cassano, I think, went there too.
Yeah, right? I think that Bobo Vieri put in a video where Del Piero was sleeping or something. So he did. They were both at Coverciano. He did take the... I think Del Piero would be, if he wanted to coach, he could come in and do something.
What about Cassano? Cassano?
Alla De Rossi.
But that's what about Cassano?
At De Rossi.
Gaetano Messina. Gaetano Messina.
But that might ruin his image, guys. That's a lot to put on the line. Cool. Imagine like Del Piero.
You're just saying because compared to what De Rossi means to Roma.
Yeah. Right, that's my comparison.
Means to Juventus.
I get it, but there's a lot
actually.
There's a lot on the line.
No, but he's not a coach.
No, he's not a coach. He doesn't want to coach, but he did take
He could be a manager.
We also did we finish on this topic?
Yeah. Sure. No, you can say, Mike, wait, don't worry. Even though you're not American, Italian, or Italian American.
No, I was going to move on to the next thing because before we end.
Is he Greek or Greek American?
It's a Greek American.
Or American.
No, American Greek.
Okay.
I don't think it's French.
A French Greek. Which is a freak.
You can't flip it like that. It doesn't work. I was going to say Lazio sacked Sarri. We forgot to mention that. Yeah. I think that was a big one. It kind of came out of the blue. It was like. There was a lot of reports that was going to happen. We weren't really sure. Then it came out of nowhere. And they ended up winning their match against Frosinone. And that was a good start. But regardless, they signed Igor Tudor, which I think is a very good replacement. Who Napoli were... There was talks about him going for Spalletti replacement.
He didn't want the...
mid-season job or something.
He didn't want a short contract.
He wanted
the extra year. So with Lazio, he got a year and a half. With De Laurentiis, he only offered him 6 months. Hmm.
But I think this positive news for all Lazio fans. I think Tudor plays that new modern kind of football.
Verona.
No, he was Verona's coach. Marseille. But who else was he the second coach?
Pirlo.
Pirlo at Juventus, right? Uh-huh. And a lot of ideas. I think Pirlo complimented him for a lot of the ideas he helped out. So I'm actually excited to see Lazio. And they got a Greek keeper now that played the last match.
Who's this?
Mandas.
Mandas?
That's he's not going to start over Pro Vidal.
No, but I'm saying Pro Vidal right now, he's injured. So right, he played last game, and hopefully he's playing over Sepe, which is really good. Sepe is, I rate him a very good goalkeeper. Mm. So to put a young keeper like that, I'm excited. We're happy
for you.
Mm. Forza Lazio, baby.
So I feel bad for Sadi. Sadi, I think he could have done a lot of good for this Lazio side. I think that he way overachieved last year. And I respect him as a person because there's not many coaches that would put away their salary so that Lazio could have a reaction from a different coach. Most want to be sacked. They say, no, you forced me to be sacked so I could sit on the couch and keep getting paid. Sadi's not one of those type of coaches. He really loves the game. He loves the sport. And I think he was set up to fail with this Lazio side with the way that Lotito manages the team.
With what you said with Sarri stepping down rather than getting sacked so he doesn't get the remainder of his contract money, I believe there was a quote with Ancelotti that said, I would never step down for a job.
Every single person in this world is different.
No,
every coach is different.
Yeah. Sarri
said that he will coach in Serie C, in Eccellenza, whatever it is to be able to play. There are certain coaches like Allegri that say the only thing that matters is the result. And then there's the flip side. The only thing that matters is the way that you obtain the result. They are as opposite as it gets. So Ancelotti and Sarri, they see things in different ways. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just different styles. And I think we'll see a Maurizio Sarri that goes to a lower level, a level where there's not the pressure to play in all these different competitions, or at least the pressure to compete. I think that he's a student of the game. He loves the sport. He wants young kids that can adopt his style of play rather than let me just obtain the winners and see them move past the mark.
I don't know. I just, Sarri to me is one of those, we kept calling him the maestro. It's like the Zeman mentality. The guy, he wants to see the people enjoying and just, display the soccer mentality that he inculcated on the mind of those
Italian Americans.
Yeah. Don't forget that Immobile, Insigne and Verratti, they were part of the, of this Zeman
Pescara,
trio in Pescara.
Yeah.
So I would say like Sarri, he's got this kind of a joy of coaching that has to be, hey, it's about the game and the money. But the money, when it comes down to the point, I said whether I'm staying because of the money, it's no longer that important. So
it's not his first objective.
But you like Sarri?
I don't like him that much.
You don't like
that much.
You respect his decision.
I respect it.
You just talked good about him.
No, I'm saying. I see some similarity in his mentality. That it's not about only about the money. It's about the game and the way he wants the team to play.
Right.
And
the team plays. Do you like it?
I'm not crazy. I don't like. It's not Motta. I like Gilardino more than I like him.
Right.
I like Italiano. I like a lot of other coaches before I like Sarri.
Understood.
Okay. But I don't hate him. I can have a beer with him just right now.
You didn't say that.
I don't hate him. I think the guy could be the best guy.
We get your point. The guy could be one of my best friends.
We can have a beer right now. Hey, Mr. Sarri.
No smoking in here.
The beer is on me.
No smoking in here.
No smoking. That's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem.
He's out of here.
Anything else to add?
No, I think Sarri, once he saw that the project was done and dusted, he's like, let me go. And the funny thing is, his assistant changed something. Because Sarri, unfortunately also, when you deal with these bigger players, you can't be so rigid. I think one thing, obviously we talk about Allegri, blah, 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 blah. But Allegri is a man manager, I think. And a lot of players would like him. Obviously, he's had problems. Bonucci, we know. Vlahovic, maybe. But Sarri, so the assistant coach, he changed practice from the afternoon to the morning, which you would think that's such a easy thing to do, right? But I guess with Sarri, he had to train in the afternoon.
Crazy. Yo, I'm having 2 doors. That's all I got to do.
You think about it, during the week, right? You have your family, crazy. Kids coming out of school, all this different stuff, or just being able to get something done in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, if the players ask for it, you would think that's easy to change.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of the players spoke really well about him. I think Matosic said, we wouldn't have anything without Sarri. He had problems in the locker room, but from what I heard, and I think Martuscello actually said that there were players that were crying and wanted Sarri to stay, but he took
tears of joy. Kidding.
But he said that for Lazio, he felt like they need something new to come in, a new spark.
For sure.
Which could be Igor Tudor. Anyway, guys, thank you guys for watching. We'll speak to you soon. Ciao, ragazzi.
Ciao.